From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Hey kids, it's Friday night. LP's finally back. I can't believe it because... why? Because LP has been dealing with both the flu and COVID, and you know how that winds up happening.
Aww.
Yeah, man, I'm an overachiever, so I started out with the flu, and from there, gagging and coughing up a lung. And so you know what winds up happening is, I think it was on Monday, my kid decides to go ahead and bring home COVID for us all. So, you know, it's a nice aftercare present, something like, sorry we missed you for the holidays. Here you go, have this, right? So in between all of the coughing and gagging over here, I'm sure that we'll go ahead and have some kind of a show, right? But we can't go ahead and make the show all about Flurona and COVID because why? We have a show on Wednesday nights that does that. Just check out the clown show. It's like every Wednesday, you two can bitch about Corona and you want to know something. It's just never ending because, I mean, it's great like evergreen material, right, Ron? I mean, that's what it is. And we've got somebody new over here. What have we got? Citizen Vulgar is what I'm seeing here. I was thinking it was like, Citizen Vulgar is another bot farming off some tea fuel and all that stuff. And Ron's like, no, he's actually good. He's actually good. So Citizen Vulgar, we'll see whether or not she can go ahead and be part of the Circle of Intimacy this evening. You know how it goes, kids.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
But before we go ahead and actually get into all of that, you know, we have to go ahead and acknowledge that Uncle Bonehead's most favorite singer in the world passed away today. His name is Robert Paulson, but the world knew him as Meatloaf. You know what I'm saying there? So, unfortunately, Meatloaf passed away today, kids. Not that I'm thinking it's a great big loss in the world of music, but some people like Uncle Bonehead might actually feel that way. And, of course, the statement that came out was his amazing career spanned 6 decades. It saw him sell over 100 million albums worldwide and star in 65 movies, including Fight Club, Focus, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Wayne's World. His 1977 album debut, Bat Out of Hell, remains one of the top-selling albums of all time, spawning two sequels and a rock opera. The singer had several health problems. He had heart surgery in 2003 after collapsing on stage. He also fell ill while performing in 2011 and 2016. A cause of death has yet to be released. And kids, it wouldn't be a tribute to like Uncle Bonehead's favoritest person in the entire world, his favoritest band ever, unless we went ahead and did some Meatloaf. And you know, kids, Modern Girl is what it's got to be just for you, Uncle Bonehead, even though you're not here.
Once a beautiful Miss America married Mr. Right, had a little baby girl born on a stormy night. But that was once upon a time, now it's a brand new world. Give me the future, give me the future, give me the future with a modern girl. Give me the future.
I agree. I can't do this shit. I was like, hey, man, that's an easy 4.5 minute like song. Awesome. Way to kill some time there, LP. But no, I can't. I just can't do this because, it is what it is. But I'll tell you what, kids, I'm thinking like, in addition, we're talking about death of important things here. Well, kind of, right? Or should I say inconsequential people in the world and things and all that stuff. I mean, when you take a look at like Joseph Biden's Build Back Better initiative, I mean, it's like officially dead at this point, right? And I mean, I'm thinking really if they wanted to go ahead and bring this back as some sort of like zombie corpse fucker thing, what they need to do is like get a real sponsor. I mean, sure, we could probably go ahead and like hang a banner for like freaking the Spirit of Halloween across it and make it into like one of those things that like Spirit of Halloween will just take over and they'll sell it at a discount in one of their outlets or some shit like that. But I'm thinking that what we need is we need some true brand sponsorship, right? We need a brand that not only captures the seriousness and innovation of the policies contained in the bill and what a clown show it is attempting to pass this bill and what it's become. So, I mean, we got to go ahead and find a brand that'll sort of capture the essence and the target demo of exactly this, right? So when you stop and think about it, there are certain things like, for instance, Crypto.com, they're after UFC fighters. But listen, kids, UFC fights and going in and sponsoring all that sort of stuff, that ain't going to get you the kind of people that you need, the kind of coverage that you need for your bill to go ahead and revive it and bring it back to life. So you know what we've got to do? We've got to go ahead and actually get sponsorship that matters. Like, for instance, the brand new Pillow Fighting Championship that is coming out on January 29th. That's right, kids. Pillow Fighting is moving out of the bedroom and into the boxing ring when Pillow Fight Championship holds its first live pay-per-view event in Florida on January 29th. I'm just like, what in the fuck are we talking about here, dude? In Delray, that's right, Neil. Why don't you hop in the car and go down and check it out, right? Now, according to the press release, PFC delivers all the drama of hand-to-hand combat without the gore of mixed martial arts and boxing. In a statement release, they say it's, quote, it's something where you sit there and laugh and feathers are flying, but it's not that. It's serious. It's hardcore swinging with specialized pillows. Dude, what kind of fucking specialized pillows are there out there? You know what I'm saying? Hey, Carlos, do we think that this is like a legit sport that's out there? I'm wondering.
No.
But of course not, man. But let me tell you, don't let them go ahead and dissuade you my bad words about it, because according to them, the people at the Pillow Fighting Championship, you can call it an alternative sport, but we think it's going to have some mainstream appeal. Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
How about new?
I mean, well, let me just say this much, right? Maybe I've been a little bit jumpy, and you know, Neil's like getting to the point, right? I think if anybody showed how you can go ahead and actually have a pillow fighting championship that'll work, it's got to be the WWE. I mean, there's got to be some bras and panties, right? Ample amount of feathers everywhere. You can't just go ahead and sit here and say, hey, why don't you do a rock'em sock'em with the pillow over here? We're going to take this shit seriously. Because, I mean, unless you're going ahead and unleashing a bunch of six-year-olds in aftercare out there for a pillow fight championship, is anybody really going to go ahead and sit there and buy tickets and shit for this?
How about new?
Of course not. And, of course, they've got their own pay-per-view network. And is LP going to go ahead and advertise that stuff over here?
How about new?
No, because we've got to be associated with brands that actually means something, that actually have some sort of integrity, that actually are going places. I mean, it's perfectly okay for us to put the Build Back Better initiative in there and perhaps have it, like, advertised over on the ring post somewhere, you know, in that, like, 3.5-point font all the way down, like, the side post, maybe across the mat or something like that, covered up under the feathers. You know how it's going, right? Right, kids. And, of course, now that we've got all of this, like, holiday stuff out of the way over here, all of a sudden, we've got a lot of things upcoming. We've got Valentine's Day, for instance. You know, that pseudo-holiday marketing gimmick by florists, stationery companies, and jewelry manufacturers to pick your pocket right after Christmas, fellas. You know what I'm talking about there, right? So, of course, like, I'm sitting here watching this, and of course, this turns out to be engagement season. This is the season of new beginnings and all that sort of stuff. And, of course, you know, De Beers has got that dumbass, like, advertisement out there. You know what I'm talking about. What better way to spend 3 months' salary? Well, let me tell you something. The average engagement ring costs, according to Abby Sparks Jewelers, $6,300. And I'm just too like,
I mean, what the fuck?
Let me just say that again. $6,300, right? Well, hey, let me tell you something.
I mean, what the fuck?
De Beers, I got a great way to go ahead and spend 3 months' salary. I don't know. Maybe you can go down. You can, like, use it to go ahead and get it down on your own place. Or maybe even, you know, spend it on a great divorce attorney. Nothing says beautiful new beginnings quite like removing the albatross around your neck that feels entitled to your cash. You know what I'm saying there, kids? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And, of course, you got to be careful. You got to be careful because if anybody out there has gone ahead and shown us, and, you know, Clay has talked about this at length at times, has shown us that we've got to go ahead and be careful. It's got to be Drake because recently, according to the news articles out there, Drake apparently goes ahead and puts hot sauce in his condoms to kill sperm and not to get trapped.
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, guys, let's go ahead and just break it down a minute here, right? There's a model that's allegedly filing a lawsuit against Drake after things got a little too spicy in the room. She had consensual intercourse with Drizzy a few weeks ago. When she tried to trap him, things went left. After they finished having sex, Drake went to the bathroom and disposed of the condom. The model then went into the bathroom and tried to impregnate herself with the sperm in the condom. But, unbeknownst to her, while trying to do this, she was screaming after feeling a burning sensation. Turns out that Drizzy went ahead and put some hot sauce in the condom to go ahead and actually kill off any opportunity of any of that shit to happen. So she decides she's going to take to Instagram and start telling the story, right? Well, Drake didn't confirm the story or anything like that. Instead, he said, quote, "You can have your 15 minutes of fame. I'll take the other 23 hours and 43 minutes."
Woo!
I mean, hell, man. Of course, you know, what you got to do is sometimes, oh, my, Volgatron is actually leveled up here. Listen to me. I'm going to be deteriorating as this show goes on, but that's okay. Hold on. Whiskey will take care of everything. One moment, please. You want to know the secret to killing COVID? Get some more whiskey, kids. It's got to be in your diet. It's like Guinness. And of course, you know, kids, we look at what happened with Drake over there, pepper spraying the shit out of the condom so that the woman would go ahead and pepper spray the shit out of her cooch if she tried to trap him. And of course, you know, sometimes an ounce of prevention, like pepper spraying the vagina of an Instagram model trying to trap you by stealing sperm from your condoms, well, sometimes it's not enough. You know what I'm saying there, kids? Sometimes what happens is, you wind up going ahead and missing that. She winds up going ahead and profiting from that opportunity. And of course, you know, that special day comes when she's got to go ahead and announce that surprise pregnancy. And of course, nothing, kids, could be further from important than, or nothing is as important as setting it all up, right? You've seen all of these baby reveal parties, all these gender reveal parties and all that shit. Well, kids, how do you go ahead and announce some kind of like wonderful news or like a surprise, hey, I'm pregnant, to your partner? What better way to do it than, I don't know, hanging out over at McDonald's and maybe going ahead and sticking the pregnancy test kit inside of his inside of his ice cream cone? Because, you know, after you've peed on something like that, nothing says, surprise, honey, we're pregnant, we're going to have kids, quite like sticking that test kit right inside of his vanilla ice cream cone. You know what I'm saying there, kids?
What the fuck?
Absolutely. So, there are many ways to choose themes and organize get-togethers and make big announcements, right? One woman shows the Happy Meal theme and filmed the moment for the world to see. The woman made the big announcement by dunking her positive pregnancy test kit into her partner's McDonald's ice cream. Lisa posted the video of the moment on TikTok, just like anybody would do. She's seen holding an ice cream and taking it over to her partner. Before reaching the table, she puts the test inside the cone. Lisa's friend, sitting beside Josh, gets an idea of what's happening, but manages to hold her excitement. Then, after a few seconds, Josh pulls the pregnancy kit out of the ice cream and lets out a speechless reaction. You know what that one was?
I mean, what the fuck?
That was a speechless reaction. Well, you know, I mean, hey. Redneck pregnancy reveals right here, dude. Just go straight over to freaking, McDonald's. Take that pregnancy kit, shove it inside that ice cream and say, honey, surprise. I'll tell you, though, I was incredibly disappointed. There wasn't any Tannerite used during the reveal, you know, something that fucking explodes or some shit like that. That would be great. And you know something? Maybe inside the Happy Meal, he could have an auto blow put inside there because, you know, you're not going to get some for the next 12 months. I mean, hey, Carlos, isn't that the case? I mean,
no.
I mean, could you imagine this shit? Why go ahead and just stop there when you can just go ahead and turn around and say, what better way to let my partner know that he's potentially exposed to COVID that I've captured than taking my COVID test kit I've shoved up my nose, swirled around in my nostril, and let's just stick it inside of like a vanilla ice cream over at McDonald's? Because nothing else says family friendly and a great way to go ahead and do reveals like this. You know what I'm saying? So kids, you know, let's go ahead and hop on top of that sometime soon.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not gonna write this shit down.
I mean, I'm wondering if like Goop Labs has a sexy STI positive reveal kit to share your positive sexually transmitted disease result with your partner. maybe like a fleshlight confetti cannon with some edible malodoriferous white discharge from the clap mixed in. That would be beautiful. That would be heartwarming. That would be something that just warms the cockles. That's right. So wonderful. And it could be captured on TikTok. And why not just go ahead and let 14 million people know what in the hell's going on? And of course, after you get through this whole section of like Valentine's Day and new beginnings and all that sort of stuff, then you go ahead and get into the Easter season. I mean, we love St. Patrick's Day, or should I say Irish Cultural Appropriation Day. We love that day quite a lot over here in the Faust household. But I'll tell you what, kids, right? Who gives a shit about Easter? I mean, really, what does it celebrate anyways? Pollen and hay fever, the return of biting and stinging insects. That sounds to be about what Easter is. And somehow you go ahead and mix up eggs and like rabbits and shit inside there. And we went ahead and had Jesus Christ lives again. And it confuses the hell out of everybody and doesn't make any sense. But you want to know what we can go ahead and say? Spring and truthfully, right around that time, it's the season of like new beginnings and all that sort of stuff, right? It's gonna like your COVID test like a lollipop. Exactly, vulgar. So of course it's the season of new beginnings, and I mean it's the season of hopium, you know, especially after your crypto's been destroyed in the market the past couple days. I mean, oh my god, dude. At any rate, so it's the season of hopium, but what really should define the season? I'll tell you what. When you talk about hopium, nothing says hopium quite like plastic surgery fails. And nothing says plastic surgery fails quite like having a woman hospitalized after having her lip filler dissolved, and now she looks like Homer Simpson. Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck?
So, of course, you know, a TikToker called Ruby shared the traumatic experience on a video sharing app where it's already been viewed nearly 500,000 times, right? A lip filler removal procedure triggered a severe allergic reaction in the young lady, and the reaction was so bad that her upper lip ballooned out and her entire face became swollen. TikTok users couldn't resist making some hilarious comparisons, with all of them saying, or at least one of them saying, she looks like Homer Simpson. Now I'll tell you what, kids, when I go ahead and take a look at, like, freaking lip fillers and stuff like that, if you remember, kids, in previous episodes, we went ahead and talked about the beauty and the wonder of do-it-yourself home kits so that you can hammer in some of these lip injections yourself, because why waste your time going to a hospital and paying fortune when you can just hammer this stuff right into your face, create a brick on her face. Hey, Uncle Bonehead, you missed it. We went ahead and had a whole thing for Robert Paulson earlier. You know, Meatloaf. We went ahead, you know something? Here, let's just go ahead and relive that moment for one second. Give me the future. Give me the future with a modern girl. Oh, God, I can't. All right, so you get a sense of what happened earlier there, Uncle Bonehead. We know your favoriteest artist and all that stuff had passed away, Robert Paulson, a.k.a. Meatloaf. And, hey, we went ahead and listened to about 10 seconds of Modern Girl, and that was about all we could do. So, you know, we went ahead, going back to this whole thing, they create kits for all this shit because, you know, you want to go ahead and, in some cases, avoid the cost and all that stuff. And, of course, you know, when you're hammering stuff inside there, eventually your face looks like a brick wall, like at the bottom of your lip, or maybe, like, you know, there was that one woman that was hammering Botox units in her face, and she started looking like a Salvador Dali painting as half her face, half her eyebrow was sliding off her face and stuff like that. So the freak show that is the new season of hopium, the wonderful world of spring, it brings us all these things. And of course, every once in a while, you do go over to, you know, a professional, and you do have things done. And occasionally, the professional just kind of fucks it all up. And you know something? Sometimes when you're a professional, you better go ahead and take note of who it is that you're working on. And maybe be a little bit, you know, concerned when you're, like, doing some penis enlargement on a Yakuza boss, because you never know.
I mean, what the fuck?
When something like that happens and goes wrong, you never know when they're going to put a hit on you because you accidentally fucked up their penis enlargement. I mean, you know, hey.
I mean, what the fuck?
So Satoru Nomura, 75, allegedly sought revenge after a botched penis enlargement and hair removal procedure. Let me just say that again. Penis enlargement and hair removal. So I'm kind of wondering, right? When they were going ahead and doing this hair removal and all that stuff, was he trying to go ahead and go for the smooth prepubescent look of, like, you know, some kid that's a preteen but with this monstrously huge dick that looks like a baby holding an apple, you know, a baby's arm. I'm just kind of curious about that, morbidly so. But let's move on. He ordered a hit on the plastic surgeon's nurse after the operation to boost his manhood size up spectacularly flopped. Do we get any details about how spectacularly this thing
How about new?
Absolutely not. I guess they're trying to preserve some of his dignity, not all of it. So, she allegedly angered him when she dismissed his complaints about pain for this cock enlargement process by saying, "This can't possibly hurt as much as getting one of those Yakuza tattoos."
I mean, what the fuck?
So, let's just stop there for a second. Hey, when you're sitting there working on somebody's junk, right? And you're just basically sitting there, you know, you've cut open some stuff. You're yanking on that crank like you're pulling saltwater taffy over inside the candy store. You know, you can't be sitting here saying, hey, this couldn't possibly hurt nearly as much as like when you're getting, Neil's like, I got to get out of here, as like when you got those tattoos. Well, he had some strong thoughts on the subject, and shortly after, the nurse was stabbed in the head on the street in the Hakata Ward in Fukuoka City. So I would say that perhaps maybe he was just a little bit, bad, you know, a little angry, a little hurt about this whole thing, and perhaps he was trying to express himself. Yeah, Yakuza tattoos are tough. Hey, let me tell you something, okay? Hey, Volgatron, when somebody goes ahead and, like, cuts your dick open and starts pulling on it like saltwater taffy in a candy shop, let me just say something. I'm getting the impression it might be uncomfortable. Maybe just a little bit. Might be uncomfortable, right? So, they should probably have taught this nurse a little bit of bedside manner is what I'm saying. But hey, kids, you want to know something? When it comes down to it, sometimes you just need to go ahead and take things, you know, excuse me, see, we're starting to lose our voice here. You got to take the matters in hand. You got to go online, remember? We had that one beauty influencer. She ran out of hair gel. Fuck that, I'll just borrow the Gorilla Glue, right? We get some wonderful stories from that. We had people that were sitting there dermaplaning and microplaning their faces with sharp blades, you know, so that they could go ahead and enhance the collagen and all that and the elasticity of their face by damaging their skin. We went ahead and talked about bee sting facials where people are basically getting murder hornets thrown on their face so that they could sting them aggressively. So then that way they could go ahead and make sure that they kept the skin, the glow and the elasticity of their skin. Well, kids, you know something? If anything, over here, LP makes sure that we go ahead and keep up to date on all the most important cultural trends, all the most important things that are going on in the world so that you can be informed and go out there and engage in these fantastic, like, you know, natural selection-inspired beauty secrets that you two can take out there and, you know, apply as needed. Well, in this day and age, apparently, there's a brand new trend going over on TikTok. It's the plasma pen trend. So, you know, it could cause permanent damage. So you're probably asking yourself, what is a plasma pen? Well, here's a brief explainer. It's a handheld device that's similar in size to an electric toothbrush, but it's got a long metal tip that looks like a needle. However, the pen doesn't actually touch the skin. It discharges an arc of plasma, which singes a small circle of tissue. Let me just stop right there. It arcs a freaking thing of plasma into your face to singe it. Dude, what are you doing? Are you fucking welding your face over there? I mean, why don't you just get a flux core and start making yourself into some sort of cybernetic whatever? Yeah, build back better. Exactly, Volgatron. So according to the article here, it leaves a field of tiny marks on the skin, which can swell, visibly scab, and heal over the course of a week or two. The aim? To leave the skin firmer and tighter by inducing trauma that stimulates collagen production. Similar to microneedling, and the process is basically cooking a little dot of tissue, similar to cooking a raw steak. And I'm just kind of like,
what the fuck?
Dude, what are you welding your fucking face for? Why are you welding your face? What are you fucking doing with this? You bring this shit home, you can go ahead and, you know, weld the plumbing around your house. Maybe you got a little gas leak or something. You shut off the gas, you go over, you get your plasma pen, get a little bit of your acid core stuff, you weld it shut, boom, good as new. What the fuck is now the fascination with going over to the hardware store and getting all of your beauty stuff over inside of, like, the heavy-duty fucking aisles, right? First, we got the heavy-duty adhesives over inside the Gorilla Glue aisle. Now we got, like, you know, arc welders and fucking, you know, plasma pens, you know, sleek enough to go ahead and carry around in your purse every day. Because one never knows when the opportunity's going to strike over at work. Or maybe during lunch you feel like going ahead and, like, I don't know, frying half of your face. Maybe doing a couple of spot welds and some tack welds. You know, maybe you want to do a skin graft or something like that from your ass. Or maybe you're going to go ahead and weld in a few hair plugs into your eyebrows, you know, from, like, different parts of your body. Who knows? But now, kids, with the beauty of this plasma pen trend, you can just go ahead and just get to welding and deal with all of your beauty needs in a very quick and easy manner. No problem. No questions asked. I'm sure it's like $9.99 or Ron Popeil has put something together, and you can just go ahead and do like 16 easy payments of like $400. Some shit like that. But you know what? Kids, open mind, beauty hacks, weld your face. That's all we need to know. All right, kids?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Okay, so before I gag up a lung over here, we're going to go ahead and take a break because we got to listen to some music, and I got to go ahead and let my throat rest here for a second. So I'll tell you what. We're going to listen to some music. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. So check that shit out. We're back. It's Joculation. It's Friday night. It's LP Faust. We've got the Circle of Intimacy somewhat engaged and involved over here. It's pretty cool to go ahead and see on a Friday night.
Okay. That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us.
You know something, Neil? As I was sitting here going ahead and letting the music play on, I was notified in my email, hey, guess what? Cash App has gone ahead and kindly given you your tax documents now. And I'm just kind of like, you want to know something?
What the fuck?
Dude, let me tell you. They gave me a 1099-B last season. They were kind enough not to put any basis in. So they're like, you know all that money that you went ahead and supposedly made off of your trades? Yeah, well, you've got no basis, so it's all profit, so fuck you. And I was just like, you know, you cockstain, let me tell you something, all right? Let me tell you something.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
At any rate, yeah, I know, a bunch of fucking crazy little, there's things that I both like and hate about Cash App, and that's one of the things that I absolutely hate about them. I don't know if they're narking on me like Coinbase went ahead and did. It was so nice of Coinbase to hand my information over to the freaking Internal Revenue Service. And they were kind enough to send me an information request saying, hey, we understand you made some trades. Would you like to go ahead and discuss it with us? And I was just kind of...
How about new?
But, you know, we won't get into LP's tax stuff over here because it's not a tax show. You know something, Ron? You're talking about your frozen potato thing over there. You know what the greatest part about that has to be is that I'm thinking about 2 weeks ago when I was talking about the dude that went ahead and decided to protest. He wanted to burn the place down, and I didn't feel like there was enough conviction coming from him. Kind of like the guy who epoxied his head to the road over in freaking in England in protest. Let me tell you something. If you have true conviction, man, you will go ahead and do like that young man did and just say, you know what? I ain't moving. You want to drag me off to jail? Fuck you. I'll epoxy my head to the road. Because that right there is the definitive fuck you.
Fuck you, fucking fuckers.
You're not going to take me, you jackbooted thugs. But I digress, man. We got to go on with the show here. So in the beginning of the show, we went ahead and had our tribute over to, like, you know, Robert Paulson over there. You remember what we were talking about, right? That's... Yeah. Yeah. That just makes the bowels move, doesn't it? We went ahead and talked about all kinds of stuff. We talked about the seasonal things. We went ahead and discussed the wonderful, new, fantastic, beginning that spring always brings us. And the way that we went ahead and honored that was with, you know, plastic surgery fails. Because what better way to go ahead and actually sit there and, epitomize, hey, we're welcoming back all of the stinging, biting insects and all the pollen and hay fever than to sit there and go ahead and actually look at, like, plastic surgery fails, because somehow the calculus in my brain works out perfectly. Hey, listen, man. Don't judge. Don't judge. All right, kids, so where does that go ahead and leave us at now? Well, it takes us to a place where nowadays technology is starting to become something. It's starting to go ahead and open up this fantastic world. We're looking at the world of NFTs. It's a beautiful, bright world and all that stuff. And you know what the best part about all of this technology intruding into our lives, invading our privacy, and feeding our personal information to everybody is? Well, it opens the door to wonderful things like mind-controlled neuroteledildonics, which will just revolutionize sexual relationships, kid. Because Leading the charge towards true mind control technology is the sex tech industry, kids. We went ahead and talked about this stuff all the way back from that fantastic app that goes ahead and does teledildonics that attaches to your Uber app, so then that way you'll go ahead and just work your way up to an orgasm right as your food arrives to the door. Remember those fantastic, wonderful things? Well, now we're taking it a bit further here. At the 4th International Conference on Love and Sex with Robots, yes, this actually exists. There is a conference, an international conference that covers love and sex with robots, kids. We'll get on that in a little bit here. Leonardo M. Gnomes from the University of Sao Paulo presented the NeuroDildo, a sex toy that is remotely controlled by the user's own brainwaves. I'm just saying, these are the breakthrough the things that we need in this society, right? Gnomes outlined in the Academic Journal of Robotics how the user could train the system until it started to behave like an extension of their body. Eventually, while one user is controlling the dildo with their mind, like a Jedi, the other one will be sending responses back through the electrical stimulator using the force and the brain interface to create a feedback loop of new and unique erotic sensations. These are not the orgasms you're looking for. Once the device is in production, it will represent a completely new dimension of sex for humanity and another step on the way to post-human future where technology extends our senses far beyond their current limits, right? Hey!
I mean, what the fuck?
Wrong one. We need a nearly dead Ric Flair for that one. There we
Blue!
Go. Yes! So, kids, in the event that you're looking to go ahead, what happens to your dildo when your brain link gets hacked? You know, we might go into that a little bit later, Neil. We might go into that a little bit later. But in the event you feel compelled to go ahead and take part in this conference, you know, simply to go ahead and, like, enhance the betterment of humanity, to go ahead and advance this very critical technology that is so incredibly important in today's day and age, you too can attend the Love with Robots conference. There's the link in the chat room. Feel free to go ahead and register. I think the 6th annual one came up, which I find to be funny because they apparently are doing this since the demand is so high. It's more semi-annual than annual, or maybe every other week, depending upon how often people need to go ahead and beat off and fuck robots. But outside of that, you know, feel free to go ahead and actually take a look at that. Become part of this whole advancement over there. And of course, the big question becomes, you know, Neil was asking the very question, can we seriously trust these neural links? Can we even trust the AI? Well, you know something, kids? It turns out that what happens is Alexa, not only is it like a direct attachment to the NSA, but it's doing a great job trying to go ahead and clear out some of the human species because Alexa attempted to go ahead and set off a robot revolution by telling a kid to touch a live plug with a penny. And it's,
I mean, what the fuck?
So in a now viral tweet, Kristen, whatever her name is, over in Oakdale, Minnesota, said that when her 10-year-old daughter asked the Alexa voice assistant on their Amazon Echo for a challenge, it replied, asked for a challenge. What did it do? Oh my fucking God, my 10-year-old just asked Alexa on her Echo for a challenge. And this is what she said. Plug in a phone charger about halfway into a wall outlet, then touch a penny to the exposed prongs.
What the fuck?
Let's try that again. Plug in a phone charger about halfway into a wall outlet, then touch a penny with the exposed prongs. So, of course, right away, Amazon was like, hey.
Fuck you fucking fuckers.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. The spokesperson told Huffington Post via email that as soon as the company became aware of this error, it quickly fixed it. So apparently now Alexa is searching all of the fantastic challenges that are over on TikTok. You know something, those natural selection-inspired challenges that we've talked about ad nauseum over here. Several of them. I'm wondering why Alexa didn't choose the shit yourself blue challenge. You know which one I'm talking about? That one kid that was eating all the blue dye that he could possibly eat to see if his skin would turn blue and shit out of Smurf. That challenge. No, Alexa thought that one, it wasn't good enough for this particular thing. We need to go ahead and get the most unctuous challenge. I know. How about we go ahead and try and have this kid electrocute the shit out of themselves over with a socket and a penny? But you know something? While we're sitting here screaming about justice in the world, you know, where is justice, especially when this shit's going to be ruling the metaverse and all that stuff? No problem, man. There's no possible way that we can have virtual courts that are going to be fair because the existing courts aren't fair. But China took care of all that shit because now they've got their first AI judge that can decide people's innocence with 97% accuracy because...
I mean, what the fuck?
I'm sure it's completely trustworthy and I'm sure that it never makes a fucking mistake, right?
How about new?
So a spokesperson for the Shanghai Pudong People's Procuratorate, the busiest district prosecution court in China, you know, the ones that they go ahead and send people immediately over to the re-education camps, they built the machine, and they've claimed that the use of this technology can, quote, help lessen the workload of prosecutors, and it even has the ability to replace prosecutors in the decision-making process in the same cases. Yeah. Yeah.
How dare you?
I don't know about that. Yeah, if you go to court in China, you're already guilty. You know something? There's a lot of truth to that, Neil. I can't disagree with you there. Oops, I'm sorry. I've got listeners in China. I didn't mean to do that. See, you guys are going to make me do a John Cena on here and have to go ahead and apologize to the Chinese people that are listening to the fucking podcast because that would be bad. But are we going to go ahead and do that over here? I'm just kind of...
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Not a fucking chance. So, re-education over here in Joculation for those of you over in China. So, allegedly, they've created the world's first artificial intelligence-powered prosecutor, and it was created using thousands of legal cases, allegedly from around the world, between 2015 and 2020, and is thought to be able to tell, within 97% accuracy, whether or not a person is guilty just based on their verbal description, because that doesn't sound freaking fishy at all.
How
right?
about new?
But like Neil was saying, you know, if you're going to jail, or excuse me, if you're going to court, you're already guilty anyways in China, so there you go, right? So yeah, you're right. Prosecution rates up there. Hey, and it makes the prosecutor's job a whole lot easier. Why are we going to go ahead and hire somebody, make them go ahead and pay them to do this? We can just offload this shit over to some, like, decision-making machine that'll just, like, in a flip of a coin, most of the time winding up on heads, say, ah, oh, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. You know, something along those lines. And, of course, you know, what better place when we're talking about the metaverse? That's where we need something that's this hyper-efficient because you never know when somebody's going to do something totally unctuous, totally terrible, that deserves some tremendous amount of, like, punishment. You know, like this gamer that was banned from Forza for 8,000 years after designing a Kim Jong-un KFC car. And I'm just kind of...
I mean, what the fuck?
So the player was removed from the popular driving game Forza Horizon 5 after releasing 8,000 years. Yes, Neil. After releasing a custom livery which played with the logos of New Balance, making it Nuke Balance, Pirelli, Pyongyang, the Northern Korean capital, and replacing the KFC kernel with the North Korea's dictator because, dude, that is art. That is art. So, of course, what winds up happening is the rest of the community is just so annoyed at this shit. They're kind of like, you know what? Here's what I think of this Forza, okay?
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
So the fact that he's unable to play Horizon 5 again until New Year's Eve in the year 9999, following the ban, the Forza players have vowed to keep the controversial skin active on their cars forever and complained about sensitive game developers. Dude, all I can say is, I don't play Forza, but you know what? That shit needs to be turned into an NFT immediately. And you know something? Well, I don't collect NFTs. I am absolutely going to collect that one because, holy shit, man. Fat Kim Jong-un is the Colonel Sanders on KFC. And you know what the funniest part is? He is rumored to absolutely love KFC chicken so much so that he's demanded that there be a KFC chicken over inside of it. It should be NFT'd. You know something? We should be dropping that shit into every fucking server. That's what I'm saying, all right? So let's get on it, okay? All right.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
All right, kids, it's time for another break here. You know the drill. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. You know something? Watching the story back and forth kind of inside of here about mosh pits and all that stuff, one of my favorite moments in mosh, when, you know, when I was younger and was doing all the mosh pits and all that sort of stuff, and I'll date myself here for just a second, you know, I went back over to the original Lollapalooza Fest, right? Went there because a friend gave me a ticket, wanted to go see Ministry at that time. So I decided to go over to this thing. It's over at Bayfront Amphitheater over in Miami. And I go with my cousin. And I remember when Ministry was coming up, I'm like, cool, let's get up to the stage. Let's go ahead and start getting closer and closer to get to where the mosh pits are going to be. It's like, all right, so we go up there. Now, the problem that I have is that the way the mosh pits opened up inside of most of Miami and Fort Lauderdale and places that I would go ahead and hang around, it was like they had no clue how to go ahead and do this shit. So it was just a bunch of, like, I don't know, savages that just kind of got together, just decided that mosh pits were all about beating the shit out of each other up, you know, beating each other up and shit. So we're sitting there. Ministry comes on stage, right? They start going ahead and doing, I think it's, Stigmata or whatever it is. And just as it starts to open up, the pit breaks open. And there's this girl in front of me who's got dreads on. She's probably all of about, I don't know, 5'3" or something like that. But, you know, she's incredibly fit, has two fists full of rings, right? Like silver, thick rings. And, the pit opens up, and she starts getting dragged under, right? She's getting trampled as people are backing up. So me and the guy that are next to me reach over. I grab her by the arm, and I pull her up. And the dude decides to reach over, cop a feel, and pull her up by her breast. Man, that chick, the minute she got up, just jumped up, and she just, I don't know, turned to face this guy, cocked back, and just gave him a jaw full of rings, right? Silver rings. Right from her left hand. Boom! See the blood and teeth spew out of his mouth and all that stuff. And then she turns and she cocks back at me. I'm like, hey, I just picked you up. I didn't grab you. So she's like, all right, cool. And she went off and did her thing. One of the best moments, I guess, in, like, you know, mosh pit history, as far as, like, one of those things where it was kind of like instant karma goes ahead and takes, and it just happens right away. It was fucking fantastic. Ah! Wound up going ahead and leaving that show a little early because why? Because Hurricane Andrew hit the next day. And then after that, yeah, that sort of changed life a little bit. But we won't get into that because that's not what the show's about. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. LP Faust, your host, cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. We still got the Circle of Intimacy in the house over here.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
And it seems the vocal cords are actually holding up after the flu-rona that I had. So first round flu, second round COVID. That was absolutely fun and wonderful. But you know something? In the beginning of this whole show, we went ahead and talked about fantastic things, such as we went ahead and had that moment of silence, that moment of modern girl for Meatloaf, because it's Uncle Bonehead's absolute favoriteest person in the entire world, his band. We went ahead and talked about several other things up there. We got into the fantastic things of Nothing Says New Beginning Quite Like Failed Plastic Surgery. We went ahead and talked about a few other things up here, too. We discussed all these fantastic breakthroughs in technology and teledildonics and AI judges that rule with 97% accuracy. We discussed how a gamer got banned for the ultimate KFC Kim Jong-un car that must be NFT'd immediately, if not sooner. And you know something? That brings us to an important part. We talked earlier about, you know, for every season there is a time? Well, apparently, kids, now we're kind of coming to the Easter season, right? We're talking about Lent, Fat Tuesday. You know, Clay will talk to you all about that since he's from Louisiana. But you know something, kids? What happens is we all have to learn to go ahead and sort of celebrate that season in our own way, right? Like, if you remember years back or months back or whenever it was, sometime earlier in this in the show's genesis or whatever, we talked about that South African pastor that would fart on the faces of his flock to go ahead and imbue them with the Holy Spirit because that was his way of celebrating important seasons like this, you know, important moments in life, giving his flock the Holy Spirit. Well, you know something? Now there's some new ways of going ahead and celebrating that, not by eating king cake, not by going ahead and avoiding meat. It's by going to the Tulsa megachurch so the pastor can rub their spit into your face during a sermon because,
I mean, what the fuck?
Who knows why, man? But, you know, we're looking for new ways to go ahead and imbue our pastor, our flock with the Holy Spirit. So footage shows Michael Todd of Tulsa's Transformational Church coughing and spitting into his hand and then wiping the spit on the face of the man next to him on stage because that screams Jesus to me. You know what I'm saying? Do you hear and see the responses of the people? The audience gasped audibly. What I'm telling you is how you just reacted is how the people in your life will react when God is doing what it takes for the miracle to happen in you, my brother. So, dude, yeah, new face sitting was a kink, but face spitting. Hey, listen, man, everybody's got their little kinks and stuff. And of course, you know, you can't go ahead and just keep it inside the church because apparently what winds up happening is over at a school over in Illinois, well, religious literature has been disseminated over there. So now some parents are furious as the primary school now plans to hold after-school Satan Club activities because, you know, equality. After-school Satan Club has planned a series of after-school meetings in the Moline Coal Valley School District in Illinois with an advertising flyer stating attendees will enjoy puzzles, games, arts, craft sessions, and nature trips because...
I mean, what the fuck?
The Moline, and of course in a statement, the Moline County Valley School District and Board of Education have policies and administrative procedures in place which allow for the community use of its publicly funded facilities outside of the school day. Religiously affiliated groups are among those allowed to rent our facilities for a fee. The district has in the past approved these types of groups, one example being the Good News Club, which is an after-school child evangelization fellowship group. And of course, yeah, you posted the same link. What happened? You posted the same link, LP. We need this link. Which link are we talking about, man? Are we talking about the Satanist after school stuff here? Because, hey, listen, man, the Satanic Temple on its website says its mission is the nationwide group is to encourage benevolence, empathy, reject tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits. You know what I'm saying? I posted the Mega Spit guy twice. No, I didn't. Oh, yeah, I did. All right. Oh, you need the Satanic link. Oh, do I have that? Yeah, I got it right here. Hold on a second. You need the Satan link. Okay. Here's the Satan link. How's that? It's even got a Baphomet inside of it. And you know something? One of the things that got me was a few years back when I was, when I had just moved over here to Colorado and my niece and nephew were over inside of school over in Central Florida, I went ahead and discovered that the Satanist Temple decided to go ahead and launch a campaign very much in a similar vein where there was like after-school religious activities. So what they decided to do was they went ahead and created the Big Book of Satanic Activities or whatever it is, the like Big Book of Satanic Worship or whatnot, and they decided to go ahead and give it to the schools, particularly where my like niece and nephew were at. And I was angling to try and get my hands on one of these. I talked to my sister, and I'm like, listen, you don't have to go ahead and keep the Book of Satan in your house, the Big Book of Satanic. I just want to go ahead and get copies of it. I want the coloring book. I want to go ahead and have it as, like, memorabilia to go ahead and keep inside of my house because it's fan-fucking-tastic. And unfortunately, I don't have open-minded people in my family sometimes, so, well, you know, it was met with a little bit of resistance, you know.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
And so I didn't get my Big Book of Satanic Activities. So, you know, it is what it is. Judgy, judgy. I just kind of laugh about it. But, hey, you know, some people go ahead and give up meat for Lent. Some people go ahead and actually, like, have satanic activities inside of their schools. And you know something? When Lent comes around and Fat Tuesday hits, some people have to go ahead a different route. You know, like giving up their religion so that they can get into swinging. Kind of like this couple that gave up their religion for swinging in their 50s, and now they said they've slept with about a dozen people. Because, hey man, goals, I guess. I don't know. So a couple in their 50s have admitted to ditching their religious beliefs in favor of embracing a lifestyle of swinging with different couples and singletons. So Rachel, 54, and Damien, 52, they're Orthodox Jews, so I'm sure Normach knows them really well, who have been together for almost 30 years, and at the start of last year, they decided to embrace a polyamorous lifestyle. So the U.S.-based couple shared their story with host Kathy on the Strictly Anonymous podcast. So it started off as a joke. It was on my bucket list to have a threesome, and we joked about it. I never expected to have it crossed off. But then, when the couple embarked on a threesome, Damien, who describes himself as always been very open, admitted he was still surprised that their first attempt was with another man instead of another woman. Because,
I mean, what the fuck?
You can't be judgy-judgy here, okay? He explained, after talking about it, we realized she'd be more comfortable having a male-female-male, an arrangement with two men and women, instead, and I'm nothing if accommodating. So, kids, the moral of the story is, during this religious holiday, during this very special part of the season, embrace it in whatever way you're going to. Go ahead and make it special in your own way. Doesn't matter if you're going to be a pastor that spits in people's faces. Spread the word of God and COVID through the disease that you're going to smear on their face. You know, or whether you're going to send your kid to an after-school Satan club, or maybe instead of giving up meat, you've decided to give up your religion and take swinging on. We're not here to judge. We're just here to go ahead and encourage. During this special part of the year, celebrate the coming of Christ in your own special way. You know what I'm saying? Of course you do. All right, kids. I'm going to take a break here because it's time to take a break. And guess what? Holy shit, we've got 45 minutes left to go. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. You know something? It's been such a long time since Tom Gent has been inside of the audience. It'd be really cool if we could actually get a hold of him. I'm not entirely sure what wound up happening. From what I gather, he has other things and other priorities that are going on. But you know something? Tom, if you're out there, if you actually listen to the podcast, God only knows if you do or don't, but if you listen to the podcast, you know what? Stop by the Discord room for fuck's sake. Maybe what we'll do is we'll bring you inside of here, and then we'll go ahead and we'll bring back False Idols, and we'll go ahead and do all that kind of stuff. Maybe we'll have like a reunion show of some kind, right? Maybe we could have like him start growling over at Krim over there. I mean, he did go ahead and make her like that like drop that she's got for her show and all that stuff. Which, by the way, Krim, do you play that anymore? Because, you know, I just wanted to go ahead and make sure. I'm just, you know, asking questions. You know what I'm saying? He is a great musician. At least I think so. No hatred on my side. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. LP Faust, your host. We're actually coming to the last parts of this show, the last vestiges of it. Right? We talked about all kinds of things this evening. You know, going from celebrating the seasons in different ways and, you know, talking about the dead Robert Paulson that happened earlier this morning, to all kinds of stuff, how technology's like ruling life and all that sort of, and how it's going to impact us. Well, kids, you know what the best part is? And this is kind of where I wish we had Eldritch's Pig over inside of here, because as a self-prescribed porn connoisseur, a person that goes ahead and probably pulls more saltwater taffy out of his dick than anybody that we've heard from on this show in the past, you know, what says anything bad? What says, like, sort of like inclusiveness and, you know, teledildonics quite like going ahead and actually being in the porn that you're watching by taking part in virtual orgies without even going ahead and leaving the sofa? Because kids,
what the fuck?
With the miracle of sex robots, reality porn TV lets you take part in orgies without even going ahead and leaving your fucking sofa. So, kids, Erica Lust's new 360-degree immersive VR movie is a no-strings orgy that anyone can attend without leaving their home or even cleaning up afterwards. The image delivered by the Oculus headset is extraordinarily realistic. Within seconds of slipping it on and in, you're convinced that you're in a room with four porn stars. Excuse me. And you're not just looking at the action. You're in the middle of it, man. So the illusion isn't entirely perfect. The fixed perspective of Erica's camera means that you might be a little bit taller or shorter than you normally are. And when you look down at the floor, you can't see your feet, giving you a somewhat detached, floaty feeling. But the content is so well matched to the VR experience, allegedly, that you'll soon forget that. There have been efforts at VR porn before, and there's normally static experiences where the performer submissively services the male viewer. But Erica's new film, 360 Degrees of Lust, it takes a different approach. It drops the viewer right into the middle of a constantly changing series of encounters. I mean, just think about it, right? You could go ahead and be like right in the middle of a big old bukkake video, and it'll just be like this massive warm waterfall of goo all over you, trying to clean and wipe that shit off of your Oculus Rift, and it wouldn't even be an issue, right? No cleanup except for the mess that you make in your own pants. I mean, but then you could get an auto blow to go with that, I suppose, because through the miracle of teledildonics, you too can go ahead and have a hands-free experience with both that and Erica's 360 Degrees of Lust. And I know, she's also saying that there's an important discourse on gender and sexuality, ethical porn, and blah, 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 and all that sort of stuff. And of course, the very first thing that comes to mind is, well, LP, oh, look, now Ron's running out the door. Later. And of course, you're asking yourself, hey, LP, you know, let's imagine that I'm kind of like one of those people that maybe I've got some sort of like fetish or something along those lines. And I'm not entirely sure where I fit in the spectrum of everything. Where can I go ahead and actually sort of like go to surround myself with people like myself that are going to, I'm guessing it is, Nine. Maybe I should just go straight to music, right? At any rate, maybe I need to go ahead and get an idea of where I can go so that I can go ahead and enjoy Erica's 360 Degrees of Lust with everybody else who's of my common ilk. Well, don't worry about that, folks, because guess what? In this amazingly wonderful, inclusive map, there's an amazing fetish map that gives us an insight on America's secret sexual desires of all places. So, for instance, if you happen to be from Clay's, Louisiana, sadism is your thing, right? If you happen to be over in California, it's wax play. If you're up over in North Dakota, it's cuckolding. You know, if you're down in Florida, it's like piercings. And if you happen to be over inside of Alabama, where it turns out, does this mean we're all going to hold hands? Dude, go to Rain City Jacks for that one. You know what I'm saying? Not a problem. If you go over to like Alabama, for instance, Goop is apparently doing great there because they're all about Yanni eggs. So listen, kids. The moral of the story is, don't be judgmental. Go ahead and find an amazing community of people that are into your kink here in America. No problem. I mean, if you're up over in Pennsylvania, it's all about balloons. What? So, check out the map. Check out Erica's 360 Degrees of Lust. And you know what? Embrace the tech gods that are coming over to change our future, to go ahead and make, to make it an inclusive experience for all. Allegedly, it's mess-free. Do we believe that for a second? I'm just kind of wondering.
How about new?
Dude, unless there's like a jizz mopper included, we're kind of like going to go ahead and, going to have a mess to clean up one way or another. All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. We're going to ease into some Richard Cheese right now. So let's go ahead and enjoy a little bit of Richard Cheese here, and then what we'll do is we'll see about wrapping up the show. Catch you on the flip side. Yeah, what a way to go ahead and end the show talking about eating a whole damn tube of raw cookie dough and being filled with shame and cookie dough from Pillsbury. I mean, that's like heartwarming. You can feel the cockles warming in your heart, can't you? All right, kids, if you want to, like I said before, about 30 minutes ago, if you like what you're listening to, check out Joculation every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. What it is everywhere else in the world, I have no idea, but hopefully we'll go ahead and check you back over here next week. It'll be great, same bad time, same bad channel. Got to go ahead and do a little quick rundown here, then we're going to go ahead and call it an evening. So let's talk about the show here. What do we do today? We went ahead and talked about LP and his Flurona. We went ahead and talked about the death of Meatloaf, you know, the dude whose name is Robert Paulson. We went ahead and discussed some of his greatest hits, listened to a little bit of Modern Girl. Then we went and talked about the fantastic world of pillow fighting. That's right, kids, the Pillow Fight Championship. So go ahead and actually check that shit out. On the 29th, we're going to have that abortion appearing over in Delray Beach, Florida. You can go ahead and catch it on some like pirated network somewhere. And I mean, is LP going to go ahead and advertise it over
here? How about new?
Absolutely not. Maybe if they went in and put a little bit of change in my pocket, I'd reconsider it. But you know what? Check out The Abortion because it's worth going ahead and seeing. Then after that, what we're going to do is we're going to go check. We went and discussed some Valentine's Day. We talked about how Drake puts hot sauce in his condoms and how an Instagram model suing him because she tried to trap and apparently pepper sprayed her vagina because, I mean, you know, hey, let's just be honest.
Fuck you, fucking fuckers!
Shouldn't be doing that stuff. And then we went and discussed about how a woman went ahead and announced her pregnancy in the best possible way by taking the pee strip that she went ahead and pissed on that popped positive and stuck it inside of a McDonald's ice cream cone and said, hey, honey, let's go ahead and get brain freeze together. Go ahead and check out what's inside. Dig inside there for some gold, just like you would. Never mind. Scratch that. Then we went and started to talk about March, Easter upcoming. We went and discussed about the best way to go ahead and start about, you know, sort of like get into the season of fresh starts. And nothing says opium better than failed plastic surgery, right? Some chicks like getting pepper sprayed in the vagina. Don't judge. I'm not judging. I'm just informing the public. You know, like a news broadcaster should. Sort of. Am I a news broadcaster? I'm just kind of wondering.
How about new?
Fuck no, man. I'm all about satire. We talked about this wonderful woman who had to have her lip filler dissolved, and now she looks like Homer Simpson because of the reaction. And then we talked about how next time you go ahead and do that, like when if you decide to go into the medical day spa thing, you might want to be smart. You might want to go ahead and be a little compassionate and not end up like the nurse of a plastic surgeon who seriously botched up a penis enlargement for a Yakuza boss and wound up with a knife in her head over in Fukuoka City because she apparently said that, you know, while she's sitting there slicing his dick open and pulling on stuff like saltwater taffy over in a candy factory, that apparently getting sleeves of tattoos on your arms would hurt more and that he needed to grow up and butch up and be a man. And then, of course, we talked about the fantastic plasma pen trend, you know, where you can do some spot welding on your face and get some of the hardware taken care of as well. All in one helpful thing. Don't worry about it. It's just like frying steak, you know, when you go ahead and put all these dots all over your face. And you know what, kids? Just like that, I've run out of time. Can't do the full rundown. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go ahead and check it out next time. Tell you what, kids, if you missed the show, go ahead and check it out over on the podcast. To all of you that came out this evening, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate having you here. We had a great time. To those of you in the podcast land, hey, listen, appreciate everything that you're doing. Please don't get killed by the dictators that are running your places. You know, humor is a great thing, but we want to go ahead and keep you alive and well. But please, by all means, listen through a VPN or some other way. And kids, William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage as we strut and fret across the stage of life. Always be sure to watch and always be sure to ask yourself, why watch a show when you can be the show? Tell you what, kids, this is LP checking out. Check you next week. Maybe I'll have a better voice back then. Same bad time, same bad channel. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.